get to where we say and fumble around near that point so that we can get on with the program. But I do appreciate you loving one another. That's good. Did anybody not get loved on yet this morning? I see that hand. Be loved in Jesus' name. Let's have a word of prayer. I'd like you to listen to the prayer, okay? I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to him, but would you listen? Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending your Son to die in my place so that I could be forgiven. Thank you, Father, for raising him again so that I might have life. Thank you for the life that you have given to me in him. Thank you, Father, for being the Father that you are. May my life radiate your presence. May you receive glory through what I say and how I live. May your heart be warmed in this day as you view your children. They love and worship and honor you in every aspect of their lives. Thank you, Father, for being a father. In Jesus' name, amen. You say amen to that? Amen. The reason I asked you to pay attention, listen to the prayer, is that ever since as a little boy, when they say they're going to pray, I time to daydream. I didn't want you daydreaming. I wanted you to join me in giving honor to the one who is our Father and who loves us so greatly. And that love continues even to this very moment. I don't believe really that he breathes, but if you'd allow me to say it, that every breath that he breathes, breathes out love, compassion, and a longing for his kids. The longing is reaching to you today because he has a father's heart. It's always been that way and always will be. You might even say it's eternal. Isn't that good news? Enjoy and receive his grace today. Thank you, Father, for being Father. And all the people said, amen.
Blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I'm safe. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be. blessed be your name, oh Lord. As you've made us alive, you've given us life, you've given us hope more than anything. You've made us alive, you've given us hope, you've given us more than anything. Have a life that goes far beyond what eyes can see. We have a great rescuer. Wants to encourage us that if you are standing, reminds me of you just shared with me. If you spent a day working with a chainsaw and you came out with 10 fingers and 10 toes, it was a good day. And sometimes I feel we beat on ourselves, or we allow the enemy to beat on us, because we have gone through tough times and we feel tired, we feel worn out, we feel like, oh, I'm not doing so good. But the Lord is saying, you still got 10 fingers and you still got 10 toes. It's a good day. It's a good day. It's a good day. You're still standing. You're still seeking. You're still believing. Let's rejoice that our Father is just, He approves of us. He approves of you. He's just, you are my precious kiddos. You're doing just awesome. I love it when you look at me.
You are my freedom leader. else has been noticing the wonderful dancing and the worship happening up front here? We love you guys. We appreciate what you're doing. And I want to encourage everyone that the dance is an important and a powerful tool, spiritual weapon in our quiver, if you will. So if you have any freedom to walk into, I encourage you to at least tap your toe, to use your body to express that you are free. To use your body to give a sign who's watching, that you are free, that you have a Savior, that you have a Redeemer, that you have a Rescuer, that you have a Freedom Maker. You are shout, our God reigns. With a shout I will proclaim, our God reigns. And worship without shame, my God reigns. And I will be yours, my God reigns. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Yeah. It is a shout of praise. Yeah. Jesus. Oh. You've been with me, you've been with us every step of the way.
getting this morning is that as we're coming together and praising the Lord, which is, you know, what we're called to do, we're called to praise Him. But underneath, what I see is the Lord is warring and just chopping things off, and things are falling by the wayside. And it's nothing we're doing. We are just praising, which is what we're called to do. He doesn't call us always to do all the hard work. He's doing a lot of the work, and all we have to do is lift Him up and praise Him and love Him.
My sense was that, as I was just singing, you have been with us every step of the way, and that the Lord just wants us to come to Him. I feel like there are some of us who need to come to Him for a hug. He knows the warfare has been intense, but that He wants us to come. He has a hug. He's been with us all the way, but there is a comfort that He wants to release to us.
Just as Sherry was talking, the picture that I was receiving at the same time that she started speaking was that the Lord was coming to us. We were worshiping, but He was creating miracles, things that we never thought we'd be able to get free of, things that we never even imagined were there, that He was just creating miracles to release us into new places.
I'd like you also to just point out something. If you don't feel anything, that's okay. And if you don't think anything different, that's fine. Get rid of the thinking and get rid of the feeling and says, God is doing something and I'm going to step into it, whether I feel it or think it or not.
Amen.
Faith steps in where God is. So, well, I didn't feel anything. Nothing happened. Your feeler is broken.
Amen.
You feel natural things. You say, well, I felt spiritual things. Maybe. And sometimes God just does stuff and He's all done doing it and you're sitting there saying nothing happened, and in a month or 6 months you wake up to the fact, I don't know when that happened, but it sure is nice that it got done. So I challenge you this morning, step into it. God has stuff for us. He promised. He's spoken. His word is good. Step into it. And don't measure the amount of what happened with your feeler, which is broken, or your brain, which is useless.
From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins.
Sing it again. From
my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Sinking, I am a child of God. Just think of what that means. Just think of what that means. You are my father, you are my defender, you are my keeper. Take my place in your heart. I am a child of God.
I'd like to own that. Say, I am a child of God. Say it again. I am a child of God. That's our identity. That's who, that's intrinsically the most significant aspect of who we are. I am a child of God. That's who we are. Now, God was giving you things and freeing things. God was inviting you to step into miraculous things now, right? Right? Does anybody know of something? Does anybody know of something? If you do, just toss it out for us, okay? Anybody know of something that happened for you in the moment? Any? Well, I know that there were those that stepped out of a place of fear. I know that.
Hi, sweet baby.
I knew it prophetically yesterday that it was going to happen, so you'll see it, okay? There'll be areas of fear that you will no longer be a piece of, and you'll notice that even as you walk on. What's that? Faith rose. Did you sense a deposit of faith as you just kind of enjoyed the presence of the Lord? I did note that as well. Anybody else? Okay, there's a river. There's a river. Yep. Yeah. And it's okay. The reality is that there's much to access here. Yeah, okay, so we're not done here, okay? But I want us to grab a hold of some of what has happened, but the river is here for us to get more. Courtney. Peaceful sleep. Okay, peaceful sleep. Anybody want to just act, you know, that's in the river. Anybody want to grab a hold of a piece of that? I needed some of that last night myself, okay? We'll grab a hold of that, right?
Let's get that.
We need that. We need peace. We need just gentle peace. We'll receive peaceful sleep. Because that's nutrition to us. It's life to us.
You know, just tap your toe or whatever. Okay, yeah, you know that dance is my thing. So, whether you did that or not, and then you saw me clapping, that calls the angels in. The angels come in when we know some things. We need to do the things that we know to do. Okay, they came in, and I just told Keith stay where he is because there's an angel behind him that's decreeing some, and it's Father heart things again. We started last week. It's just a continuation of where we already were. In father heart things, because when we got the hug and we got the Sherry word, it's just rest. It's rest. And then what you want, it's just like when, you know, baby comes to you. What, exactly. What do you want? What do you need? Tell him.
So we're not going to go away from this moment because there's the river is available to us. So let's actually just even right now, I'd like to have you close your eyes if you can. If you need to keep them open, that's okay. Some people have to, you know. There's little ones that run around if you don't. But now, what do you need? What do you need? It's in the river. And we need to get to the place where these needs are met. Because we have places to go, guys. So look to the Father. Set your face toward His face. He has already set His toward you. And now, tell your Father what you need. Put it right into His lap. He already knew. Yeah, put the other one too. Another thing. The other one that you need there. Put in His lap. He already knew that too. Now, I just want you to reach up and just in the river, okay? Reach into the river that's flowing around. Reach and just access that which is for you to have. Receive it. Father says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You are mine. Everything I have is yours because you are mine. I delight in you, my child, You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine, my child. You're mine. Your life is mine. All your stuff and circumstances, all your situations, mine. Mine. Mine, mine, mine. I love you. I love you right there. Right in the middle of all of that. You're mine, mine, mine. And I love you there. Access from me now. Access from me now. Receive from me, because you're mine and all I have is yours. Father, we just receive from you. I want you to see that your heart is a sponge, and it's soaking it up. And in fact, it's a sponge that soaks up more than it can soak up. It just keeps, more goes in. So I want you to see, I want you to perceive that your heart is receiving. I want you to perceive, I want you to actually see with your mind's eye that your heart is absorbing the love of the Father, but that your heart is absorbing just courage, rest, peace. There is no fear because there's so much love. There is so much love that there is no fear. There is no fear. There just isn't any fear. It can't happen. And it's like a sponge that keeps on just drawing in, because Father pours more in than it would even be physically possible for that sponge to receive. That heart of yours, his heart just pouring in and pumping in. It's gentle. It's a good, gentle flow, but it keeps coming in more. I want you to receive now. I want you to agree with me. I want you to say, there is no fear. There's no concern. There's no worry. I'm not anxious. There is no fear because of your love, Father. I am at peace. Say, I am at peace because of you, Father. Your love sustains me, Father. I'm yours, yours, yours. And everything you have is mine.
One thing we should grab a hold of is that God is the eternal Father. In his eternalness, he is love. He didn't used to be love, or he won't be love sometime, but he is love. And the second thing I want you to catch about that is that God is the creator. He didn't used to create, and now he's on vacation. He is a creator creating, just as he is a lover loving. And his creation is ongoing. The scientist tells us that the universe is expanding and that new stars and new galaxies are being thrown into space. And you think, where's that coming from? Well, they have their ideas, but the creator is still creating. And in the lives of people, the creator is at work. When you were born, the creator knit together the DNA and the chromosomes, and he put it together to be a unique, singular, one-of-a-kind being. I know they say Mother Nature does that,
But I want you to also recognize there's no such thing as Mother Nature. So they just said, we don't know what happened. But we who know the Father, who is the Creator, know that He knits the thing together and He blows life into it. And before He even finishes the breath, He has written in His book every day a plan for that life, every day of it. The Creator is creating. And when we're born again, the Creator created a new creature. And as we walk with Him, the Creator releases into us love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Creator creating us into His very image. It's not an accident. And it's not an effort of willpower. It is the Creator creating. Continually creating. And what we've heard this morning was simply this. The great Father of the universe, the one who created, is creating. And He releases His creative life into us. Even today, we receive out of His hand, out of His heart, new elements of life. The Creator continues to create. It's not unusual. That's the way it is. He is the Creator. And may I say this? He can't help Himself. Because that's who He is, and it happens. Just as He is love, He can't help Himself. He loves. And it isn't like, I want you to just get this. It isn't a time thing. We're talking about the eternal Father. The eternal lover. From before the beginning to after the ending, if there is such a thing. In every direction, eternal lover, eternal creator, eternal life.
In the river. Right? And that's funny, that came on right then. So it's a word from the Lord. Get in the river.
Get in the river. Get in the river. Get in the river. Get in the river. So soak in some right now. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to see that Father is just washing His river, the river of His heart, the river of His kingdom over you. There is so much for us to access today that it's essential that you do it now, and that you don't just do it once now, but that you do it repeatedly to receive more. Let your heart be expanded to receive more. Lord, we receive more. We receive more. We let you break us out of
So the sponge metaphor, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but I've seen these little pills. It's a little capsule with a child's toy in it. And it's, the child's toy is a piece of sponge. And if you put it in the water, the capsule comes off. And then the sponge expands and expands and expands into the shape of an animal or something. I can't remember exactly what. But that's the picture. And so, again, I'm going to adjure you at this moment to let the capsule, that which has held you in and held you contained, God, restrained God, and some of those are hurts and some of those are bad ideas, let those go, because God's calling you to let your heart expand into His. I declare, even now, a breach in every containment of God, a breach in every confinement and restraint on the love of the Lord into each of our lives. I just speak forth healing in those areas. I declare forth healing. In Jesus' name, be healed in your heart. Be healed in Jesus' name. Receive. Lord, we do receive. Now I want you to breathe in, and in so doing, I want you to intentionally receive from the Lord. We breathe you in, your healing, your love, the flow of your river right into our nostrils. We breathe in. River of God, flow among us. You are free. We give you freedom. Agree with me. Say amen. We agree to whatever you have for us. We give you complete freedom to make us completely free. Say amen. We want all you have for us. We're not interested in some. We want all you have for us. So we just put our heart freely before you. Your heart, it's expanding. Your heart is bigger than it's ever been before, and it's fuller than it's ever been before. It's fuller than it could ever have ever been. It's amazing. Now, out of that heart, I'd like you to release a smile back at your daddy. I'd like you to release the your pleasure and the Father's pleasure. Worship Him. Rejoice toward Him. Just let Him know how pleased you are at His work today. Let Him know how delightful His grace is to you.
I believe the Lord is saying right now that He's giving us all the heart of a secretariat. Secretariat was a racehorse whose heart was three times the size of a normal horse. God designed that animal to run. He gave him the capacity to run. The Lord is giving us that same capacity right now to be able to take in exactly what we need and more, that we may go full speed, faster and faster and faster as the kingdom advances.
What did you say? What was it? 22 what? 22-pound heart. Okay, so this is confirmed. Okay, let's just receive that. Let's just receive it. Say, Father, we receive that. We receive that heart. We receive a super heart. A heart of a champion. The heart of a runner. The heart of bigger than it could be. Say that. I receive your heart, Father. Bigger than it can be. We agree with your word. And we just say yes. Yes. What I actually see for myself, and I believe it's for us, is a heart that's bigger than my chest cavity. Okay, it's like inconceivably big, and only because of the miraculous power of God could it exist. So we agree to a heart that's like bigger than we are. Amen. We receive.
Last week, the Lord was asking us to allow Him to take brokenheartedness and bring healing so that our hearts could be used by Him in a bigger way. And then today, He's giving us a bigger heart. And I was thinking about Secretariat myself. But the other thing that I keep hearing is a lover will always outwork a worker. And I feel like the expansion of our hearts puts us in a position to outwork what we ever believed we could do for loving on people, because it's the love that outworks. So it's like the stamina that we need for the oncoming days is something that the Lord is placing inside of us.
So Larry just shared with me that, so he was, as you guys know, was diving in Honduras recently, and one of the divers he was with owns a granddaughter of Secretariat, okay? And she has the enlarged heart, which is good, okay? But there's a but. And the but is that she's unwilling to leave the pack, and because she's unwilling to leave the pack,
she can never win a race. You know, you can't win a race if you're inside the pack, right? If you're inside the bunch. Okay, so the next step that God is calling us to is not that comfortable, okay? But I'm going to tell you, you have the enlarged heart. You've got the massive God heart. Let's not let it go to waste, okay? Because there's a word, next steps, where we're to go.
I just want to share an aside here. When George was speaking about the Lord working miraculously in our hearts and that we needed to see it, McKenna came up front with a calculator. And I heard the phrase, it just doesn't add up. And I felt like God was saying, you can look at things by the numbers and you can punch them into any calculator. But when it comes to the miraculous, you're not going to get the answer that you're looking for, because the miracles of God are the miracles of God. And a lot of times they don't make sense. So my sense was just that we open our hearts to hear and see what he's doing and to not question, but to just allow him to do the work that he wants to do. When I woke up this morning, I had a verse from Matthew 11 that the Lord had put on my heart, which was kind of weird to me because it's a strange verse as far as I'm concerned. It's actually verse 12. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. So I sort of just kind of sat with that for a while this morning, and then I went and started looking at it, and God began to speak to me about that verse. And I've heard a lot of teachings on it. I've heard people say different things about it. But this is what I feel the Lord showed me this morning, so I just want to share it. The word in there that says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. That word violence in Strong's is to crowd oneself into or to seize. Further on where it says violent men, that is someone who is a forcer, someone that is energetic. And then it says to take it by force. And that force is to seize on or to claim for oneself eagerly. When I started reading through this, the Lord started saying to me that from the days of John the Baptist until now, he wasn't saying until that moment. I believe what he was saying was until now, meaning now, whatever now is for you. If you think about what was happening in the days of John the Baptist, people were being offered forgiveness for their sins by being baptized. That forgiveness comes out of heaven. And it says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, which, as I said, that is to crowd oneself into or to seize. So what he showed me was in that looking for what was happening in the days of John the Baptist and even what Jesus was doing in the miracles that he was performing, those things came out of heaven. The people that were receiving from him had never received anything like that before. They wanted it desperately. You look at all the things that were going on, from the woman with the flow of blood to the man whose daughter had died. Everybody wanted what was being offered out of heaven. They were grabbing on to the things of heaven. And so he said, violent men, which are people that are energetic and people that are forcers, people that want what they want because they see something in it, grab onto those things that are coming out of heaven. So to take it by force means that you need to seize it. You need to grab on. But back to the very first part that says, from the days of John the Baptist until now. I believe the Lord is asking, what are you looking for? What are you seeing? Are you seeing just revival? Revival's good. But are you looking for awakening? Awakening comes with miracles and signs of wonder and power. The only place those come from is out of heaven. The only thing that connects us with those is for us to reach into heaven and say, Lord, I want that. I want what you're offering. I want the power that you're offering in my life. I want miracles in my life. I want to be changed by that which you are bringing to earth. All the people, I don't know about all the people, but a good percentage of the prophetic people who are reliable are saying that we are heading into a shift. A shift is no good if you take hold of that shift and say, isn't that nice what God said? I'm just going to hold on to that. I'm going to put that in my pocket. And I'm going to wait and see. But if we will reach out and say, Lord, I want what you're offering right now. It is available to all of us. I know there is one prophetic voice out there that said that we are in a new era. An era is very different than a shift. So what are you looking for? I'm asking myself that question. What am I looking for? For myself, I believe we already have stepped into revival. Because of the fact that our hearts are being changed day by day by day right now in this season. But an awakening is what not only we need, but the world around us. So for myself, I say, Lord, let me grab on to that which you're offering. Let me not hold on to it for myself. But let me be filled with that which you are offering, that I may give it away.
I'd like to just recall the words that Keith said. It's not just a shift. We're moving into a new era. I'd like you to let that settle in on you for a moment. This is not something for today and then it's gone tomorrow. What God is about doing is more than just a shift. This is the way it's going to be from here on in. I mean, this era, this is where we're going. So get on board or you're going to miss out on the next 10 years of life. You know, get the idea. It's not just a shift, here today and gone tomorrow, but the shift introduces an era. If you want to be a part of it, get on board because it's going to last a while. And it is, I want you to just hear, catch this, it is more than what we do in church. It always has been, but this era is definitely more than what goes on inside the four walls of the building. He calls us into a new day.
And the era is the era of the big heart, okay? It's that. Yeah. Watch her listen to me. Even in this very moment, even while we are talking about the next things we're talking about, do not let go of the vision in your mind of a heart, an incomprehensibly large heart, that's yours, okay? Awash in the fluids of the heart of the Father, okay? Because that's the basis, that's the place where we're founded and want to go see Alan? You can go see him. I can see him. In a little while. Come see me. That's where we are. So I want you to own the heart. I want you to stay right with the heart while we do these things, okay? While we are going through this. So here's the heart. We don't want to waste the heart by being in the pack, okay? We don't want to be in the pack, right? We want to be where God has called us, which is outside of the envelope of normalcy, okay? The heart takes us outside the envelope of normalcy. The heart takes us into places where we're going to have to seize with some level of force the stuff of the kingdom, okay? Outside of the pack is also outside of our comfort zones, okay? But it is out there where we will have to seize some things that God wants us to seize.
And the word is that God wants to minister it to and restore your heart. There is a momentous heart shift for many taking place this week. And Keith was just saying there's a shift. So today, this is a word to us. I just want to quickly share that this week, the Lord has put three people in front of me who others have joined in prayer for, Dorothy and others, all heart issues. One who needs a new heart spiritually, and two who need new hearts physically and spiritually. Thursday night at Food Pantry, one of our best buddies outside, Jeremy, called us just as Food Pantry was starting, saying his father was on the way to the hospital, a possible heart attack. So we were all praying for him and decreeing this word over him. And later that night, we got pretty good news, and we've continued to get news. He is now home, and the doctors cannot figure out what went on. So that's just a testimony. God, everything that's been spoken of this morning is happening. And yes, you did. In the prayer that she texted me, Secretary's heart, yep. And Solana says that a whole new door is opening, a gate of glory is opening up. She saw a vision, Jesus opening a whole new door and gate was being opened in hearts and over lives. So I just wanted to share that as just, that is what God is doing in us right now. You know, it's happening in a testimony. It has happened.
It is happening. And I want to just say that as an example, so she talks about Jeremy, who works outside in Lowe's at Food Pantry. And, okay, so let's just draw a radius around this congregation. Let's draw a bigger radius to connect in with all of the people that come to Food Pantry. And then let's draw a bigger radius, okay, Jeremy's dad, okay, the people that connect with the people that connect. How big is the heart of God? Okay, now, I'm not saying that we're the only ones praying for Jeremy's dad, okay? His name's Cliff, is that right, somebody? Cliff, is that right? Craig. But How big is the heart? How big is the heart? It's huge. It's humongous, okay? So again, I want you to see the heart. I want you to see the heart is awash in the love and the power and in the kingdom of God. It's awash. But now I really want us to grab a hold. The word that Keith has brought to us is a strong word. It's a necessary word, and it's necessary for us to not simply nod. There's something to be grasped. There's something to be seized.
Every time when Keith was preaching, and I heard him say, "What did I just say?" the kingdom. It comes out of heaven. It comes out of heaven. It comes out of heaven. I kept hearing the Lord say, because I came preaching and said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's what I just said to George when he says, "Reach up and grasp it." God just keeps confirming everything that He's saying repeatedly. Just in case we didn't get it the first four times.
All right, so I want you to see the heart. Do you see the heart? Do you see the heart? It's bigger than it can fit. Doesn't make sense, doesn't add up. It's too big. Got it? See the heart? And in that place, I want you to come into agreement with that which is beyond your understanding and your experience of the kingdom. Can you agree with that which you barely understand or barely can imagine? Can you agree with it? If it's of God, can you do that? Say yes. I'd like you to be a little bit more forceful with me, okay? Even verbally, if you don't mind. And the reason is because we need to get out of normal, okay? And into seize mode, okay? In the name of Jesus, we seize that which is beyond. In the name of Jesus, we seize that which is beyond. Would you agree with me? Say, in the name of Jesus, we seize that which is beyond. We expect miracles. We expect signs. We expect the greater works. We expect wonders. We seize that. Would you go like this with your hand? Would you do that? Grab like that. Grab it. Okay? Hold on tight now. Get it. Okay? There's some violence that needs to occur. And you have the capacity for that violence. You have the capacity for that violence. Go ahead and do it again. Go like this. Friend Stephanie over here beside Jocelyn, and she saw a picture of golden ropes hanging down all throughout the center of the sanctuary. Is that all through the whole sanctuary? What are golden ropes? Well, ropes attach things, okay? Let me just say things, okay? This is pretty obvious, okay? But I'm a physicist. I know some things about ropes, okay? So do you. Here's the truth. Ropes, golden ropes pull things down, and golden ropes pull things up. They do both. The truth is that when you pull, you're being pulled. Okay, now there's physics for you. Newton's laws require it. Here's the deal. You are pulling that which is heavenly into this earth realm. And in the same motion, you are pulling you into the heavenly realm. Okay, that is the that is the fact that God is calling. And they're golden ropes, they're promises, and they are high value in the sight of God. So, see the heart? Seize it. Seize it. Seize the things that are available to you. You know that healing is available to and through you. Am I right? Are you aware of that? You know that eternal salvation is available to and through you, right? You know that freedom, crazy freedom, ridiculous, outrageous God freedom for people, freedom from and to, freedom from addictions and bondages, freedom is available to and through you. Freedom to be who you're called to be. Freedom to them, for them to be who they're called to be. Available to you. See, it's available to me. Based on the miraculous power of God. Based on His presence and availability to me. I seize that. I seize salvation. I seize freedom. I seize healing. I seize life. I seize the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is at hand. And it's for me. It's for my household. It's for my neighborhood. It's for my workplace. It's for beyond those. It's for those that connect with those I connect to. I seize it. I seize it now. And I will seize it. I will not sit down. I will not be cowed. I will not stay inside the pack. I will reach out. I will seize the kingdom of God as I have been instructed by the Holy Spirit. We'll take it. We'll take the gold, the power that is being conducted through those golden ropes. We'll take it. If I could give you an instruction, I would instruct you now to not let go of the visual of the heart that God has given you, and to not let go of the visual of the seizing of that which is available to you, the seizing of the golden ropes, the seizing of the kingdom. Recognize that you are awash in the river, and that which you are called to seize is approximately, here, reach out your hand. It's right that far away from you. It's right there. It is at hand. Grab a hold. It's for you.
Yay, God. I want to tell you two stories, and then we have a little bit of work to do, then we're out of here. Two stories. First story is about George while he was in Kenya. When George was in Kenya, he was an odd duck. The Kenyans looked at him. He's an odd duck here. The Kenyans looked at him and said, he is an odd duck. And one of the things that he, this odd duck, did was that he cared for the children. And men don't do that in Kenya. Men do man things, and George was anything but a man, except that he was a man of God. He was an odd duck. And the men noticed it, and there was a little bit of yakety-yak behind the scenes about this guy is really off the edge of the road, and he needs help, instruction about what it is to be a man. While he was there, there was a little boy, I'm guessing about 4 years old. Betsy, would that be about right? George? About four or five years old, whose daddy was no longer in the picture, and which is not uncommon in America or in Kenya. And no mommy either. And the little boy was donated to his grandmother to offer care for him, and his grandmother was working for a living because the grandfather was too busy doing other things. And so the little boy really, he had a house to live in, roof over his head, some protection, food. But he didn't have anybody to love him. And that odd duck from America came and began to love on that little boy, picked him up and carried him like he does around here, kind of stupid. What an odd duck. And the men in the place thought, this guy really is a mess. The words were passed around, but there was a few who noticed. And there was an uncle who was not married, who just fumbled around with his life, not really going very far or anything, but he began to see that that little boy needed a daddy. And so, since that time, which is, I guess this must be 8 or 9 months now, he began to pick up the little boy and carry him and take him for a walk and show him something and talk to him and became a daddy to the little boy who had no mommy, no daddy, just a roof and some food. And the little boy who had been just a bump on the log, one who had no connection with anything or anybody, began to become alive and well, began to stand up and walk and talk and celebrate life a little bit. Betsy? Because David's daddy could do it, then he could do it. That's the testimony. And David's daddy is McKenna's daddy. But because David's daddy, McKenna's daddy, could do it, because the odd duck could do it, this man, who was not connected to anybody other than being an uncle, suddenly began to be an uncle and a father and contributed life to this little boy, and the little boy suddenly is alive. I'm telling you that story not to talk about David or George, but I want to talk to you about carrying the heart of God into your world. We have no way of knowing that it was the instruction that George shared with the people. As a matter of fact, it's almost like whatever he said is almost immaterial, but it's what he did. What he did. I want you to see something that in this day and age, we are eye people. We see things. They used to say a picture is 1,000 words, now moving pictures, and now we are sick to death of listening to words. And your world is looking for people who make a difference, not by what they say. We are sick of hearing what they say. It's half lie or 98% lie anyways. We're sick of it. But the world is looking for a people who will show the heart of the Father. And it's the heart of the Father that makes the difference. And so the thing that God has stirred in us this morning is not primarily to go and tell. I just want to say that. Go and be. Go and be a son of God or a child, a woman of God. Go and be. And while you're being, the stuff that's in you will leak out into your world. And they may say, he's an odd duck, but I like what he did. He may even come and say, why are you doing what you're doing? Now you've got a testimony. You can actually say something. But you begin by being. And the thing that God is putting into us today is his heart to beat within your heart. And it will not be so much what you say as what you do. Secretariat never said anything. He did it. Yeah. That's story number one. The second story. Tender, loving care crosses language barriers. There was an old song, I guess it was a song that said, what you are speaks so loud that the world can't hear what you say. Well, that dates back 50 or 60 years ago. Still true. What you are speaks so loud that the world can't hear what you say. Second story. Second story happened about, oh, you know, time goes by. And are you aware that I am closer to 100 than I've ever been? So anyways, it might have been 60 years ago, 40, 50, 60, 50. We'll call it 50. That's a good number. 50 years ago. I left the job I was working and went into the ministry. I remember my former boss said, how can you live on that? And I said, I don't know. We'll see. And my former boss said, why don't you work for me part-time? That way you'll have a steady income and you won't starve to death. And I said, this is more of a story than I was starting off to tell you. But I said to him, well, he said, come to work for me in the morning. You work for me from morning until noon. And then you can go and be this pastor or whatever it is you're heading for. And I said to him, well, I'm only good in the morning anyways. And he laughed and he said, you know, the truth is that's the way I am. I'm only good in the morning. Our best hours, at least for me, my best hours are from 6 o'clock until noon or 11. Maybe it's getting closer to 10 now. At any rate, I didn't take his offer, and I went into the ministry instead. But the question was, how are we going to survive on so little money? And I don't remember if it was that year or the next, but Betsy's mom was working for, what's the name of that? H&R Block, and so I was new into the ministry, and ministers have a whole different tax schedule, and I was not sure that we knew how to do it right. I'm still not sure. I bet you're not sure about you either. I mean, if you are sure this year, you won't be next year, because the folks up in the, yeah, they'll make it different, so you'll have to change next year. But anyways, I wasn't sure. We asked Betsy's mom to do our taxes for us, since she was working for H&R Block, and she did our taxes, and when she got done, she says, what did you have to eat? How did you survive on that? She could see the costs that were fixed, such as mortgage and lights, heat. What was left for you to eat? And the truth was, we didn't know. We still don't know the answer to that. But one of the things that I found out when we went into the ministry, initially we were going to continue to tithe what we had tithe, not tithe, what we gave before. Our tithe on what we used to get, we continued to give the same amount into the new amount. So whatever it was is about 20%. And we don't do that anymore because we're more religious than we used to be then. But what we found was, I want you to just catch this. As we gave unto the Lord, there was more than enough for us to have, to take care of all of our needs, take care of our children, and food left over. And when they tried to add it up on the calculator, it didn't add up. And so this morning, I just want to say that about giving and giving unto the Lord. We as a fellowship, you may have noticed our numbers are somewhat lower than they have been, and the financial need continues. And the Lord will meet our need, and He will meet your need. And I just encourage you to be faithful in your giving, because you can trust Him to make up the difference. He will make up the difference. Betsy, do you want to say something? She wants to tell a story, too. She loves storytelling. Okay, go ahead. You can talk. For 1 minute?
I'll try. Sorry. We have more than enough. We've always had more than enough. We have more than enough now. And there's a lady that comes to us. We used to share with her out of your benevolence until there wasn't any more in the account. And still her needs are desperate. Like, I don't know if any of us know. I don't think we ever had desperateness like this lady does. No. And so, you know, sometimes she needs $10 because she hasn't got any gasoline, etc. And we have more than enough. And so she comes. Sometimes she comes a few times a week. But a couple of weeks ago, when she came, she said, I need gasoline because I have to go and have a procedure at the hospital. I've had this lump on my breast that I've had for a long time, and I wouldn't deal with it. I couldn't afford to, but now my doctor says I have to. And, of course, she was frightened, as you can well imagine. She's a single mom. Her hubby is dead, and she has two teens. Anyway, we said yes, but please, would you, she just comes to the door usually, would you come in and let us pray for you? Which she happily did, graciously let us pray for her. She wept, she received, and I don't know what her problem was in the beginning, but I know the report of the pathology is that she has no problem. Did the Lord use something to help her dare to trust us enough to come into our house and pray for her? And did He heal her? For sure. Whether he took care of that problem or not, yes, He did take care of it. I just don't know when He did it, but I know He used it, and I know He touched her heart. And she talked with us, and she said, So I already told you that she's a lady with a lot of difficulty in her life. We talked to her about the need to forgive and how important it is for healing. And with tears, she said, I do forgive. I will forgive. I just think, you know, somebody that it could bug you, frankly. You know, how about somebody else helping? Or I don't even know what. But the opportunity comes sometimes after it's cost you. It's cost you in living. It's cost you in time. It's cost you in caring. What a reward. It's so well worth it. Somehow that's between your two stories.
It's in between the two stories. God is looking for people to carry his heart into his world, into your world. I wanted to do one more thing. Is it okay if we go to four stories? One more story. I don't know how to put this on. Do you know how to put this on? All right. Betsy dressed me in the morning, too, you know. So. What is happening today is that God is really wanting to put some of his heart and his reality into our lives and into our experience. And I want you to see that what he wants to do is enable us to see things differently. And while we have been raised up in our lives, we learn to view things with a certain set of eyes, the natural eyes. And with our natural minds, we view things. And whatever comes into our life, we view it from past experience or what we've read or what we heard somebody else doing. And we view life through a variety of veils. We see things from the perspective of what we have learned or read. Or I want you to hear this before I go on. We are all only one decision away from walking in religion. When the need comes before us, we say, well, I read so-and-so did such and such, and so I'm going to do such and such. May I tell you that's religion? What would keep us from religion? What should I do with this one? And he might ask you, are you willing to do what I say? And you say, well, if it's within reason, you know what that means? I'm going to judge what you propose with my brain because I'm smarter than you are. Can you say amen to that? Well, I don't know whether you say amen or not, but have we ever done that, you know? And so what God has done this morning, I want you to just catch this. He is removing the veils by revealing to you and us his heart so that we can see things from his perspective. Our whole lives are wrapped in veils of the natural man. And what God has done for us this morning is reach down. He says, I want to give you my heart. I want you to see it the way I see it. I want you to do it the way I do it. Will you be my instrument of my grace and love? Will you be my son and my servant? That is the heartbeat of God. And you might recognize something, that his heart is just a little bit bigger than yours. A lot bigger. And when you sense the call or the desire to do what he has called or suggested you do, you might just well acknowledge that probably he knows better than you do. And that your brain, which is a phenomenal instrument, is nowhere near able to deal with life with the clarity that he can. He has offered to you and to me and to us a glimpse of his big heart today. And he wants you to carry it into your world. I want to say just one more thing. Whatever you... Let me just say this. What you do here, how you worship here, how you pray here, how you confess here, is all good. But he has already looked into tomorrow and he says, I got stuff for you to do there. Let my heart beat out there. Let my cry be heard out there. I'm looking to touch your world the way I've touched you. And you're looking to see my heart expressed in my children.
At risk of putting too much into this, I feel like there's yet one more quick step we need to take. So we have a heart. We have a commissioning to seize all that God has called us to. There's one other little piece that I just feel like needs to be connected in. We each are people. I'm a person. And you know me. An odd duck. You know me. And you know my hurts, my difficulties. You probably don't know all of them. You probably just know some, right? But you know them, and you know me, and I'm your brother, right? And you know, furthermore, that I need you, right? Right, I need you. I need to be one with you. I need you to be one with me. I need your support and your connection and your prayer and your love. You know that, right? I mean, you all know that I went through some difficult times and have gone through some difficult times over the last few years, right? And my presumption, and perhaps I'm presumptive in my presumption, is that you have all prayed for me and that you have loved me through this process. Now, I know the interactions that we've had and the grace that you've bestowed on me. I know that, and I appreciate it. I really do, very much. I look around, and I don't feel like there... I feel uniquely privileged to be loved as you have loved me. I'm making this all about me, and that's not what I mean. But I'm an example, okay? Papa, would you come stand with me? Mom, would you come stand with me? The reality is we need each other. You know, some of you that go this way, right over here. Some of you know the difficult things. Come this way, you guys. The difficult things that we've, as a fellowship, gone through. Know that we've had to stand, and you guys have supported and stood with us. Larry and Jocelyn and Keith and Diane and Keith and if Lisa's, yes, Lisa, just come also. We have. You know the burdens that I have carried and my family has carried. My kids could come. Come along, kids. And we stand together. But let me say, we need each other. You got a big heart? Anybody? Anybody got a big heart? I got a big heart, too. Anybody going to seize it? Anybody going to seize it? I'm going to seize it, too. But let me just say this. We need each other. Come in close. Let's gather close because we're not done gathering just yet, okay? Because so what you see here is you see an eldership and family connections. And can I just say this? This church leadership needs you. You understand that? We not just could use prayer. Could I really use the four-letter word? We need you. Okay? Need as in, like, if I said desperately need, would that mean something different? Okay? We need. And can I be honest with you? You need us. Is that okay? Is that all right? So I'd like it if maybe some of the rest of you, maybe all of the rest of you, would come. And I stood here because I wanted somebody to not have to move very far, okay? But I'd like those of you that would be willing to stand with us, that you would come. As an act. See, we have big hearts, and we're going to seize, right? And we need to be one together, and we need each other. And I need you, okay? And we need you, and you need us, and we all need all of us. Am I right about that? And so I just feel like we should stand in a place of oneness with the recognition of our sincere need. N-E-E-D. Real need for each other. Father, we do come before you, and I thank you, Lord, for let's grab a handle or two or three or interconnections and can I grab something here too? There you go. And Lord, we are come before you as one. We come before you with a big heart, yours and each of ours, enlarged beyond sensibility, beyond the calculation, and a call and a determination to seize the kingdom of God. And the recognition that we come needy. Needy of you, Father, first off, yes. But needy of each other as well. And Lord, we stand together and we declare our unity before you. We are one before you. And we also declare our allegiance to you and our absolute determination to support, to intercede, to pray, to encourage, to reach out, to prophesy, to heal, to cover the backs of each other, to be one, and to, especially as we step out into, come on in, buddy, come on, William, to step out as we step out into places that are crazy and not inside the pack, but beyond the pack. We are one. We are one. Can you say that with me? We are one. You said it better than I did. I liked how you said it. That was good.
Amen.
That was good. Thank you, Father, for that. And Lord, I dedicate us. We dedicate each other. We together dedicate us to this big heart, big kingdom, seizing the big kingdom, living, walking together with you and each other. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I bless you. You know, where unity exists, the blessing of the Lord is a pronounced, positive flow that causes good things to happen. I forget what...
There the Lord commands a blessing. Life forevermore.
Amen. And I just echo him and command a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Is every heart free?
Amen. Good. Be free, hearts. I do love you all, and I appreciate you all. Love you all.